Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 19 of Season 4 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom-com When Harry Met Sally, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me again today is David Brook of Blueprint Review. Welcome back to the show, David.
It's a pleasure.
You were good friends of, what was your name?
Yeah, that's why. That's just what I said.
Exactly. That's what I said. So, minute 19 begins with Harry interrupting Sally and ends with Harry acquiescing. So, yesterday we ended the minute at a very, very suspenseful point where Sally is giving her drink order to the stewardess, and we slowly see Harry's head begin to pop up from the row behind. And he looks up and points to Sally and says, "The University of Chicago, right?" And she says, "Yes." "Did you look this good at the University of Chicago?" "No." That, first of all, that's an interesting response that she would say something like that. That she would, you know, that she, I mean, obviously she's annoyed with Harry already, but still, you know. For her to answer that way, no. And then we get a great
of himself.
Yeah. Then we get a great Billy Crystal moment where he goes, "Did we?" And then he like pumps his hand a little bit.
That fist thrust movement, it cracks me up every time. It's so kind of gleefully inappropriate, but says so much about his character. Kind of, as I say, he's an interesting character, Harry, because he's quite a. In many ways, he's very unlikable. Like I say, he's quite obnoxious and rude, but he's got some kind of charm that you just can't help but watch and kind of be hooked into. And that's I think that's kind of a typical signifier of it.
Yeah, it's great the way that he does that. You know, and she goes, "Ew!" That's her, her
pushes
response.
It away with a hand. Yeah,
like don't even think that way. Which is great to think about the fact that, you know, again, I mentioned this earlier this week, in just a few years, these two will be married, you know, but at this point, you know, she seems grossed out by the fact that he's even, you know, bringing up the option that they possibly, you know, had sex at some point. So it's just really funny looking at her reaction to that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And she goes, no. And the whole time, you can actually see the guy sitting next to Sally, who we talked a little bit about yesterday, just staring and smiling at the two of them as they're having this conversation. And then Sally turns to him and realizes that she needs to explain things to him. You know, and then she says, "We drove from Chicago to New York together after graduation." And then this guy goes, "Oh, maybe you two would you two like to sit together?" And Sally goes, "No." And Harry goes, "Great, thank you." And, you know, they quickly just switch seats, which is done in a very fluid manner, especially given the fact that, you know, the stewardesses are walking through the aisle at that point.
Yeah, it's the worst possible time.
Yeah, yeah. It's always annoying. They're always right there when you want to get up, you know, from your seat.
Yeah, when you need the loo, you've got to wait hours for them to get to the other end, and oh, it's so annoying.
That's right. Like when you're on a plane, where do you prefer to sit? Do you prefer to sit on the aisle, in the middle, on by the window, or does it matter to you?
Probably the aisle, because I always feel awkward having to ask someone to get up and move around, and yeah. Oh god, right. That reminds me of I think it was the last time I went to America. The last time I flew to America, we went to Florida. With the kids. Mm-hmm. And my wife and the two girls got a kind of three seats next to each other, and I was sat next to a random guy just in front of them, and we just very near this. It's obviously quite a long flight coming from the UK, and just right.
Oh, come
right
on, that's not long. I have longer flights.
Well, relatively long. It's hardly a quick kind of European one. But it's a fair few hours.
Was it a 5 hour flight? Or is it longer?
Oh, something like that. 5 or 6.
Oh, come on. I got a 12 hour flight from here to the US.
Oh, crazy. But anyway, so very early in the flight, we'd kind of got our drinks in, and I got up to kind of help out with the kids, and I spilt a glass of water all over the crotch of the guy next to me.
Oh.
And it was the most embarrassing thing. Right at the start of the flight, the whole rest of the flight, I had to sit there with wet pants and like...
Wow.
It was so, so embarrassing.
Yeah, he probably was not very happy with David.
No.
He probably said, I'd rather have sat next to one of those kids than their clumsy father.
Oh, God. So embarrassing. But anyway.
Oh, wow. Okay. And did you talk to the guy at all during the flight, or you just...
I tried
avoiding him.
I was too embarrassed.
You said to your wife, Anna, maybe I should sit next to the kids. Yeah. Yeah.
I put the in-flight entertainment on and just the headphones and just shut myself off as much as I could, I think.
Yeah. No, I also prefer to sit on the aisle for the same reason as you. I don't like to have to bother other people if I have to get up. The only drawback of that is that then there are two people who are bothering you when they have to get up. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's
and I do quite like looking out price. The windows as well. Yeah.
Well, there's nothing to see. What is there to see when you're flying over the Atlantic? You know?
Well, to America, yeah, that's pretty boring. But some of the, like as I say, I do a lot of, most of my flights around Europe, and you're over the land a lot of the time. It's more interesting. It's a different kettle of fish. It depends on how, well, when you're too high up, you don't see much. But
yeah.
But you do, it's kind of takeoff and landing is kind of cool.
Yes. Yes, that's true. I would agree with you on that. So they quickly settle in to their new seats, Harry next to Sally and the other guy next to the guy who was staring at Harry yesterday. You know, the guy who was staring at Sally sitting next to the guy who was staring at Harry. You know, another match made in heaven, I guess. You know, it's also a small plane. I mean, I'm not used to planes like this where you just have three on the right and three on the left.
Oh, I am. You know, little European flights and things are always like that.
Right. Again, I don't fly very often. When I do fly, I fly international, and therefore, you know, the planes are a little bit larger, a little bit wider, I guess you can say. Mm. Harry turns to Sally and says, "You are a good friend of," and like he stops mid sentence. He can't remember her name, which is great because. You know, we are privy to the knowledge that Sally also couldn't remember her name.
Yeah, and she even says, oh, I can't believe you didn't remember her name.
Exactly. And then she goes, Amanda, I can't believe you can't remember her name. What do you mean? I can remember. Amanda, right? Amanda Rice. Reese. And then he goes, Reese, right. That's what I said.
That's what I said.
So I think that's great. You know, like, you know, especially the way that Billy Crystal delivers this line, you know, where you're saying Reese and Rice and Amanda and whatever and Wright, you know, it just flows right off of his lips, right off his tongue as he's like saying quick. It all. You know, it's done very quickly and it's done perfectly. You know, Amanda, Reese, Wright, yeah, of course, yeah. And. You know, Sally doesn't buy it. She's like not taking any crap from him at this point. And again, it goes back to the fact that it's very funny because she herself couldn't remember her name either. You know, she needed the time to think about it before. But, you know, this whole part of the scene is great because, you know, we get to see that, you know, we saw earlier this week that Harry definitely recognizes Sally, but he just doesn't know from where. You know, and even at this point, when he's listening to her and the way that she orders things, he still, you know, he still can't remember. He still can't place it. You know, he knows that he knows this woman, you know, and because it's the way that she ordered. That's what has given it away. But that still doesn't help. You know, I'm assuming you've heard of the name Rice, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Did you know that it can also be a first or last name?
Rice. Well, it's not one I come across. It's not a common one for me, really. Rice. I think definitely of a last name, but I can't think of a first name. Rice. It's unusual.
Yeah. It's not very popular. But I mean, in Wikipedia, they only have five people named Rice that are listed there as their first names. And most of them were in the 1800s. They weren't even recent. They're not even recent. The most recent one is someone who passed away in 1947, who was a Canadian politician named Rice Shepherd from 1861 to 1947. So it was a name in the 19th century, I guess, first name. And as a last name, it is also of Welsh origin. In Wales, it is known as a patronymic surname. Do you know what that means?
Is it like a, I don't know, is it something linked to the country?
Well, it basically said, what it says here is that it's an Anglican, as we mentioned earlier this week, it's an Anglicized transliteration of Rhys, you know, R-R-H-Y-S. So it's,
yeah, it's Rhys, yeah.
Yeah, so it's actually very funny, the fact that, you know, Harry has made this little blunder calling her Rice as opposed to Rhys, but the two are come from the same place. It's the same name, basically.
Yeah.
It's just a different pronunciation of it. You know, so I just thought
so that he's right in saying that's what he said.
Yes, exactly. That's what I said. Rhys, Rice. Yeah, yeah, of course. Rice, Rhys. And then Sally turns to him and goes, whatever happened to her? And Harry goes, I have no idea. You have no idea? You were really good friends with her. We didn't make it because you were such good friends. So, you know, Harry is basically, you know, everything has now flooded back into his memory at this point. He now remembers who Sally is and remembers, you know, everything that happened between them and the fact that, you know, apparently because of her, they didn't make it. Okay. Do you believe that line?
No. I think he's teasing. I think he's winding her up here.
I mean,
I didn't buy it at all.
I mean, we talked about this a little bit, you know, 2 weeks ago, the fact that, you know, Harry is wondering why Sally is no longer with, that she must have broken up with Sheldon in order for the fact, you know, because of the fact that they're now on this trip. But she doesn't bring back the whole thing about, okay, well, does this mean that you're, how are you still with Amanda if you're also going away? You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's funny that he's somewhat using that as the excuse by saying, oh, we didn't make it because of you, you know, because of our trip together. Mm. And then Sally said, well, you went with her. And I love Harry's response. And was it worth it? The sacrifice for a friend that you don't even keep in touch with. Which is, it's such a great line, you know, because it's a throwaway line. You know, you talked earlier this week about the fact that you said Joe acts like a salesman, but that's what Harry's doing right here. Harry's trying to sell the idea that you know, he's trying to place all the blame on Sally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sally is at fault for this. No one else, not him, not Amanda, not him moving away to New York. And her staying in Chicago, nothing. It's the idea that, you know, Sally took a, that he got a ride with Sally. That's what it is. And, you know, Sally then gives a great response by saying, Harry, you might not believe this, but I never considered not sleeping with you a sacrifice. which is a great blow. She really is gets him with that line. Because, you know, Harry is somewhat speechless after that because, you know, he knows he needs to take the punch and just roll with it. And he goes, fair enough, fair enough. And, you know, that's how this minute closes. You know, by him agreeing to that.
It's like a lot of the film, I guess. It's kind of a little battle between the two of them. Shots fired on both sides.
Yeah.
It's all part of the film's charm and drive.
Correct. But I think that's part of the beauty of this movie.
Oh, yeah.
That we have these two characters, you know, in a rom-com who are so strong in and of themselves that they can have these debates and it's still not going to eventually affect the, you know, the chemistry that the two of them have together. You know, that type of thing. This is a interesting minute, you know, that's thrown into this movie to give us more of an idea of who these characters are. And I think it works. I think it's done very well, the way that they perform in this particular scene. So is there anything else you want to say before we get into the script?
No, I didn't have many notes on this one, really. But I said,
right.
No.
Okay.
I think I've said it all.
Fair enough. So there are a few differences here. There's a lot of description here, a lot of one-line descriptions. You know, it says Harry pops up, he pops right back up. And, you know, then, you know, it says Harry being mischievous says, did we ever? And then it just has, you know, two dashes and a question mark. And then it says reaction from man on aisle. And then Sally laughing. She can't believe him. And she goes, no, no, Jesus, no. And then she turns to the man on the aisle to explain to the way the whole thing is. It says the man on the aisle has been listening and watching all of this. And then the man on the aisle says with some irritation, would you two like to sit together? And then it says Harry agrees before Sally can object. Now, I find it very interesting that they say here that the man says it in an irritating way. Because I can understand that that could happen and that could be very irritating, that you're sitting, you know, on the aisle and someone is, you know, someone's talking behind you to someone else, that type of thing. But I think it's much better the way that the guy does it in a very playful way. You know, he's like, oh, you guys know each other? Great. Why don't you sit together? I'll gladly go switch seats with you. That type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't, you know, I'm glad that they changed it and took out the fact that he's supposed to be irritating, you know, and then it says, Harry says, you were a friend of, oh, geez, he can't remember her name. And then Sally goes, Amanda's. I can't believe you can't remember her name. What do you mean? I can remember Amanda, right? Amanda Rice. Reese, right. That's what I said. So, you know, it works really well here. And that's all there is for the script in this particular minute. So every Thursday we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track, Courting Dating Edition, where my guest will give some sort of story, adventure, anecdote, misadventure, something that happened to him over the course of life that is somewhat related to dating or courting. So, David, do you have another story for us?
I do. And once again, it's concerning my now wife.
That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing.
Yes.
You don't need to apologize. You're saying it in an apologetic way. You don't need to.
I've probably mentioned this before, podcast before, but my wife's Finnish, she's from Finland, and we met when she came over to the UK to study for a while, and we had a long distance relationship going, and I was going to tell you the story of when I first went to Finland. So we'd been together not that long, kind of like a couple of few months maybe. I think she was in the UK for a couple of months when we met, and then she moved back home. She had to finish her studies, and the very first time I went to Finland, I flew over there by myself, and got the long train up to Tohalampi, where they live, kind of in the middle of Finland, because the plane kind of flew more to the south, and I had to meet her parents and two brothers and a sister, and the very night I got there, this is the very first time I've met their parents. I was obviously very nervous, you know how you are. I was early 20s and meeting the parents for the first time. But it was Saturday, and Saturday in their house is sauna night, because in Finland the sauna is it's almost a religious kind of thing. Like everybody has a sauna in the house pretty much, and they'll have a kind of family sauna every twice a week. So Anna's family, it was Saturdays and Tuesdays usually, and so it was sauna night, and I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. And but then I realized that in sauna night, it's like it wasn't just like me and Anna having a romantic kind of sauna, whatever. Not the necessarily romantic thing, but having a sauna together. It was no it's all the and Anna will have a sauna with her mom and her sister. You're going to go in there with her dad and her two brothers. And it's like, okay. And then, obviously, in Finland, they do saunas properly. Like, in the UK, we might still have bathing suits on, things like that. Finland, no. It's like, they need to stay clean and pure. No clothes, nothing. So the bed,
not even towels?
No, nothing. It's like, wow. This is the first time I've ever met this, my wife, my girlfriend's family was like, just everything's out there. Just
wow.
hours after meeting them, it was the most uncomfortable moment of my entire life. So yeah, probably she was probably getting her own back for the date of watching Old Boy in the Eye, I think. But
no, I'll say that.
But no, the thing is, that's what I've come to realize over visiting Finland a lot, is the thing is to Finland, the Finns, they don't think of it like that. It's not, there's, I don't know, I think the British maybe over-sexualized nudity and things, and it's like it's just normal. It's just what they do when they have parties with a friend's house. They'll have a sauna together and stuff like that. It's just kind of the done thing. But to a straight-laced Brit, it was very, very, very uncomfortable. And
I can understand that. Yeah. And you've gotten used to doing that ever since.
Yes, yeah. Or admit, although quite often since I have kind of had the sauna with Anna or with the family or something, so I don't often do it with the rest of the guys, but I have done occasionally, and I'm more comfortable with it, a bit more comfortable with it. I still have my British kind of awkwardness in there, but I am more comfortable with it.
Okay, that is very good. It's good that after was it 17 years, 18 years?
It must be 18 years or something like that.
You've gotten used to it. That's very good.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for that story. It was a very very enjoyable and eye opening story. So thank you for sharing that with everybody, David. You know, we know that you miss planes, so now we know, you know, what you do when you're visiting Finland.
And now hopefully all the listeners are thinking of me naked. Let's hope not.
Who knows? We'll let everyone's minds go wherever they want to go.
It's a good job it's a podcast, not a vodcast. Does a vodcast exist?
Yeah, anyway. That's fine. Just audio. All right. So, David, do you want to tell people once again how they can find, you know, David Brooks?
Yes, I post many reviews and run Blueprint Review, blueprintreview.co.uk. And yeah, you can find my reviews of classic indie worlds and all that jazz, lots of Japanese movies because they're my favorites, but loads of stuff. Check it out.
All right. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher you might be using to listen to the show. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, or you can go directly to my website, movierobminute.com. So, David, you feel like coming back tomorrow and finishing up the week? But make sure you keep your clothes on this time.
Yeah, oh yes, definitely fully clothed. I'm there. Yeah.
All right. If that's the case, then you're welcome back. So, until tomorrow, I'll have what she's having.
I'll have what she's. Gave me a thrill with all your faults. I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you. Had to be you.